Welcome to Torah Timecha HaVtorah with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and this week, Parshas Chukas, we read the HaVtorah from Sefer Shoftim, chapter 11, verses 1 to 33. This is the story of Yiftach. This HaVtorah is deeply connected to the events as well as themes from Parshas Chukas. In our Parsha, we learn about the various nations B'nai Yisrael encountered during their final journey through the desert, particularly Edom and Sichon. It tells of Moshe's speech to the king of Edom, outlining our recent history, clarifying our peaceful intentions, and requesting politely passage through the land of Edom. Edom responded with hostility, even threatening war, and so the Jews chose to circle Edom rather than engage in battle. Ramban notes that although this is not explicitly stated here, this was because of a Torah commandment not to wage war against Edom. The Torah then tells us of a similar episode, this time involving Sichon. Moshe again requests from Sichon, the king of Amori, peaceful passage through his land. But in response to this innocent request, Sichon actually begins to wage war against B'nai Israel. As Rashi explains, every warrior of Amori came out to attack. This time, however, we fought back and conquered the land, which was eventually settled by Reuven, Gad, and half of Manasseh. Interestingly, this land of Sichon had originally been part of Moab and Ammon. It had been conquered by Sichon. This previous war is actually recorded in our Parsha. This detail is crucial because, like Edom, the lands of Ammon and Moab were off limits to the Jewish people. We were not permitted to wage war against either of these nations. As Rav Papa explains in Chulin, Daf Vav Amud Aleph, Ammon uMoav tiharu b'Sichon. Ammon and Moab became permissible to the Jewish people once it was conquered by Sichon. This aspect of the story is critical for understanding the relationship between Ammon and the land over which we later fought, as detailed in our Haftorah. In Sefer Shoftim, 300 years later, Yiftach, a judge of B'nai Israel, faces a war with Ammon. The king of Ammon demands the return of the land which he claims was once part of his territory, accusing B'nai Israel of stealing it when they left Mitzrayim. Verse 13, Vayomer melech B'nai Ammon el malachei Yiftach, ki lakach Yisrael es artzi ba'aluso mi Mitzrayim, me Arnon va'ad hayabok va'ad hayarden, va'ata hashiva es hen b'shalom. The king of the children of Ammon said to the messengers of Yiftach, Israel took my land when they came up from Egypt, from the Arnon to the Yabok and to the Jordan. Now return it peacefully. What's fascinating is that Yiftach actually recounts the entire story to the Ammonim, explaining what truly transpired, the series of wars and conquests that led to the situation. And he explains in verse 23, Va'ata Hashem Elokei Yisrael horishesha Amori mipnei Amo Yisrael. Va'ata tirashenu. And now Hashem, the God of Israel, has dispossessed the Amori from before his people Israel. Should you then possess it? Yiftach asserts that Israel didn't steal the land from Ammon. It wasn't even owned by Ammon at that time. Rather, we were attacked by the Amori and won the land fair and square. Unfortunately, like the speech of Moshe to Edom and his speech to Amori, this speech of Yiftach falls on deaf ears and Ammon comes out to fight. It is ironic and can feel frustrating how much effort our leaders go to all throughout history to clarify our intentions and moral foundations of our actions, and how often they are ignored and misrepresented. But there is something exciting about seeing the events of our Parsha so well known and understood by Yiftach 300 years later. But before we delve into Yiftach's role in the Ammoni conflict, we must first acknowledge the painful episode in his life that begins his story and also is the opening of our Haftorah. Our Haftorah begins with family rejection. Yiftach was banished by his brothers because they didn't want him to inherit their father's wealth. They cast him out, and Yiftach was forced to live away. His brothers did not see him as part of the family because he was the son of a different woman, a concubine, according to Radak. When the elders of Gilad approach Yiftach for help, asking him to lead the people in battle against Ammon, he responds bitterly, "You hate me. You chased me away. Why do you now come to me for help?" The Dubna Magid, Rav Yaakov Kranz, 1740-1804, in his Sefer Kochav Miyakov, asks a striking question. Why does Yiftach accuse the Ziknei Gilad, the elders of Gilad, and not his own brothers of causing his suffering? After all, it was his brothers who drove him out. The elders were not involved in that part of his life. It was a private family battle. The answer, according to the Dubna Magid, lies in the role of the Ziknei Gilad. As elders, they had a responsibility to protect the vulnerable and ensure that such injustices did not happen under their watch. The fact that Yiftach had been rejected by his family and banished without any intervention from the elders is what caused him such pain and frustration. Yiftach did not just feel betrayed by his brothers, but by the leaders of the community who had failed in their duty to protect him. As elders, as leaders, they should have stepped in and prevented such a travesty from occurring. By not taking action, they allowed this terrible situation to occur. Yiftach's bitterness towards the Ziknei Gilad speaks volumes about the role of leadership in safeguarding justice and caring for the most vulnerable. While we might be quick to place blame on those who directly cause harm, Yiftach's complaint shows us that leaders, especially those with authority and responsibility, must take proactive steps to ensure the well-being of their people. They must intervene when injustice occurs, even if they themselves are not directly involved in the conflict. Let's take this a step further. In Parshas Vayera, the Torah talks about the experience Avraham Avinu had when Hashem came to visit him after his bris milah. The pasuk says, "V'hu yoshev pesach ha'ohel," he was sitting at the opening of the tent. Rashi explains that when Avraham experienced the presence of Hashem, he was eager to stand in honor of Hashem, but that Hashem said to him, "You sit while I stand, and you will be an example for your children, that when they sit, I am standing." What was Hashem telling Avraham Avinu? What is the meaning behind this? What does it mean, "you sit while I stand"? What this really conveys is that Hashem is always present when we, as leaders of the Jewish people, are involved in judgment or in decision-making, because it involves his children. This moment is not just about the honor of Avraham, but about Hashem's constant reminder to those in positions of leadership. The people standing before you under your authority are my children, and I stand with them. As leaders, we must never forget that the individuals we judge or lead are not just subjects or followers. They are Hashem's children. The weight of leadership in Hashem's world comes with the knowledge that Hashem is standing right there with his people, overseeing the decisions we make. When you stand in judgment over another person, remember, they are my children and I stand with them. This reminder calls us, no matter what role we play in the world, to act with compassion, fairness, and righteousness, knowing that Hashem is with his children in their vulnerability. This perspective changes the way we approach leadership. It's not just about making the right decisions, but about understanding the sacred responsibility that comes with the authority to lead and judge. Hashem is not distant. He is with his people, standing right there, making sure that those who are judged are treated with fairness, empathy, and justice. When we lead, we must always be aware of his presence, which makes our decision not just about what is right, but about how we treat his children with the dignity and respect they deserve. We can't let our leadership be motivated by personal agendas, biases, or convenience. Instead, we must lead with the knowledge that Hashem is present with his people and that he watches over the vulnerable. This responsibility, this reminder that Hashem stands with his people, should encourage us to always act with integrity and compassion. Our decisions affect Hashem's children, and that is a responsibility we must take seriously. With this in mind, we can perhaps turn back to the speeches of Moshe to Edom and Yiftach to Ammon and see that these leaders spoke not only to make their claims known, but also to reaffirm the truth of their position and their commitment to moral integrity. And so, even when their speeches were rejected by that audience, the act of speaking was not for the benefit of them alone. It was for Bnei Israel. And of course, these speeches do remind us of our moral responsibility to act ethically and justly, even when it seems that no one is listening. It seems frustrating that the speeches don't work. But the very act of giving the speech is important because sometimes the speech is not for the other party. It is a way of reaffirming our own commitment to justice, truth, and moral clarity. In this sense, even when we know the other side may not respond positively, we must still stand by the truth. Leaders must be rooted in truth and integrity, regardless of the outcome. And in the end, Hashem stands with us, and when we lead with integrity, we are fulfilling the true role of leadership in his world. Thank you for learning together.